Translation. Lord Sri Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is the supreme enjoyer in the rasa dance. He is the leader of the damsels of Braja, and all others are simply his associates. Purport. The word rasadi vilasi, the enjoyer of the rasa dance, is very important. The rasa dance can be enjoyed only by Sri Krishna because he is the supreme leader and chief of the damsels of Vrindavan. All others are his devotees and associates. Although no one can compare with Sri Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, there are many unscrupulous rascals who imitate the rasa dance of Sri Krishna. They are mayavadis, and people should be wary of them. The rasa dance can be performed only by Krishna, Sri Krishna, and no one else. So introducing the position of Krishna here, then we're establishing that he is the supreme enjoyer. Anyone else other than him is assistants, is associates. There is no question of imitation, of copy, like that. Because the idea is the living entity thinks that I can enjoy. That's why we're here. We're here because of this, basically this one point. It's not the involvement, engagement of the senses. It's not the need for facility or relationships or interaction. That's none of the reason we're here. The reason is that we think I'm the one to enjoy all these facilities or the relationships or whatever interaction of the senses that there is. That's the actual reason. Of course, while we're here, we like to put it that it's those things that are the problem and leave it as status quo that all of us are the enjoyer and controller. But that's not the actual position. The real position is that I think I'm the controller and enjoyer. That's why I'm here. Right? Sometimes you think, oh, you taste prasad and you like it, that's maya. No, the point is it's Krishna. You're engaging the senses in Krishna's service. Engaging the senses isn't the problem. It's that I am the controller and enjoyer of this. No, this is Krishna. Krishna is the controller and enjoyer. So we like to make up all varieties of different interesting elements. Or you have the opposite is yes means everything is the Lord. So therefore we're all part of that. So then we can also enjoy everything. So you have both of these problems coming up. But they're both based on the principle that I think I'm the controller and enjoyer. So therefore This point is that Tara Parikara, everybody else, other than him, everybody else is simply associates and assistants. It's just the way it is. This fact has to be established, right? If we're going to discuss rasa, rasa is interaction, but it's based on facts. Right? Does that make sense? Like, you're going to do kirtan, but you're going to do kirtan in the temple room. Right? It has a floor, there's walls, there's ceilings. Right? So it's not bigger than this or smaller than this. Right? So you can't stick 5,000 devotees in here. It's just a fact. So rasa is based on facts. It means much of the time we like to ignore the science. But everything that is happening within the Krishna consciousness is based on science. Right? So science means it's establishing what are the facts. Then, within those facts, then we act in such a way that we are rendering service to Krishna and trying to please Krishna. Right? Just like you go into the kitchen, it's a fact. There is a cauliflower there and a potato there. So based on that, you're going to serve Krishna. If you don't accept that it's a cauliflower, you say, no, 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 I wanted to cook zucchini today. So this is a zucchini. Right? It may not turn out so good. The point is it's facts. So the point is here we want to have rasa, because sometimes we'll say, oh, these facts are so harsh, they're so this and that. Why are they harsh? Because it means I'm not the supreme controller and enjoyer. That's exactly why. There is no other reason. This idea, oh, that's fanatic, or that's too strong. All that means is I'm saying in a very nice way, I want to be the supreme control and enjoyer, and I don't appreciate it that some devotee or the Bhagavatam or Chaitanya Charitamrita or Srila Prabhupada for that matter is telling me that I'm not. That's the reality. We don't like it. It's not politically correct. But who cares? Really, who cares? I mean, the karmis don't care. Right? They know political correctness is just a trick. It's just a tool. All governments use it. Right? They have their experts. They're called spin doctors. Take the worst scenario and turn it around so it looks great. They don't live it as a lifestyle. They don't believe it that this is a philosophy of life. They just know this is what works. So the point is facts are facts. We're not the supreme controller. We're not the supreme enjoyer. Only Krishna is. So we have to give up this way of, in very pleasant language, finding out how to establish ourselves as the controller and enjoyer. Because that's all it is. Oh, I'm just being practical. Oh, yes, of course. Then you can be the controller and enjoyer. You know, we're not fanatic, Prabhu. You know, we're just trying to, you know, live a balanced lifestyle. These are all just technical, you know, cliches. Not cliches now, you have to understand. These things were made up back in the 90s. That's when we knew about it. The 80s already, I mean, Los Angeles already worked these things out in the 70s. You know, but it kind of got this side of the Atlantic, you know, later in the 90s. But these things are old cliches. All they mean is, I'm the controller and enjoyer, and I don't want anybody to bother that position. I'm willing to engage how much I feel comfortable in Krishna's service, but this point that I'm the controller and enjoyer, I'm not giving that up. Right? And so you just got to live with it. So therefore, everybody sits around, these crocodile grins, they're talking all this nice stuff, but it's not real. You can fool yourself. Great. You want to stay here in the material world? Fool yourself all you want. Maya's got all the tricks you can come up with. You think you're so clever. It's not you. It's the modes of nature. Don't give yourself so much credit. The modes of nature are your conditioning. Your modes of nature are deriving your dealings and your attachments. It's not something else. So Chaitanya Charitamrita, in a very pleasant and poetic way, is just saying, we're not the controller and enjoyer. Because if that's not appreciated, then you won't actually be able to taste the rasa that is being presented here in Chaitanya Charitamrita. So in other words, there is something so much greater that is available if we give up the idea I'm the controller and enjoyer. We give that up, then you can actually taste something. Because otherwise what we're tasting here, we have to remember, if you're in an environment where there is no happiness, there is no taste, then even the smallest fragment of a taste is considered so great. Right? But if it's so great, why doesn't it last? Right? The person comes out, is splashed all over the papers, that this person this, or that person that, and 2 days later, who cares? It's just a non-event. You know, and then your friend calls you, oh, hey, did you hear? Yeah, I heard that 2 days ago. It's kind of like, that's all the more it was worth. It's so shallow. So what's being presented here by Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami is that the taste of devotional life, the taste of devotional rasa, devotional interaction, is so much greater than what the mundane has to offer. And remember, mundane, just because you change the name, is no different. Ethnic cleansing is, just because I use a nice word, right? Ethnic, if I say something's ethnic, everyone, oh yeah, ethnic, cool, yeah, great, you know. Cleansing, everyone likes things clean. Hey, so here, it's ethnically clean. Wow, yeah, I like that. It still means genocide. Just because we changed the name. So don't fool yourself if you're coming up with all kinds of little niceties how to explain your mundane consciousness and to explain how I won't surrender to Krishna and think it's no different. It's still the same thing. Just everyone sits around, pats each other on the back and says, yeah, yeah, no, no, hey, we're cool. Yeah, we're okay. We're like that. But that's what the karmis are doing. It's no different. So if we're clear on that, then we can move forward and actually taste real life, real relationships, real rasa. Because otherwise, other than that, there isn't anything. Right? That's where Prabhupada warns. You stay attached to what's here, you'll take birth again. But if you're not attached to what's here, in one lifetime, you can go back to Godhead. Nobody should doubt this. Right? And this is also a warning to all academics and everybody else out there in the world who likes to play around on the intellectual platform and take anything that Prabhupada says and try to turn it around because their little academic field has come up with something that doesn't seem, you know, that you could do it this way or that way. Yeah, there's a million ways you can do it. The mudwas, it's just a standard fact. It takes you 14 lifetimes to go back to Godhead. Right? Sanatana Goswami's book, the Brihad Bhagavatamrita, basically shows all those positions. Someone in the mudwa line has to go through all those positions to get back to Godhead. But Lord Chaitanya has given it just in one lifetime you can go back. The acharyas will say, yeah, generally it takes many lifetimes. Why? Because we're not convinced. We're not surrendered. That's why. It's not a matter of it's a fact it has to take. No. Why is the example Prabhupada uses again and again about Maharaj Katvanga? One moment. That's an 11th of a second is all it takes to go back to Godhead. But we're not doing it. Krishna in the Gita, he gives that as the first option. Just surrender to me. That's done. Okay, you come to the pure devotional platform immediately. It can be done. But we don't. So what do? We take up the process of sadhana, in which we practice that surrender, the pancharatrik system. And so, like that, then it just takes however long we want to remain here. That's all. It's not to do with something else. Maya is not keeping you here. Maya is simply saying, previously you liked this, so do you still like it? Because the point is, you can't go back to Godhead if you still like stuff here. So all it is a test. You know, you liked this before. So she presents it again. And if you go for it, then you're distracted. If you don't, then she will, you know, as a good host, right, we're staying in her place, she'll say, are you sure? You know, no, but you really liked it before. I'm like, no, like that. You know, it's just like, you know, going over to somebody's house for a meal, you know. You take some more? No. You sure? You know, like that. And then they have their tricks to get on your plate. And if you're there, okay, then you're done. Okay, so then she understands that. She's not here trying to keep you here. We're trying to keep ourselves here. That's all. It's us. We want to blame it on someone else because, you know, we're always pristinely pure and right. But actually, it's we're the only one that's keeping us here. No one else. Nothing else. Like that. So here, then, Rasadi Vilasa, the enjoyer of the rasa dance, that's the working point here, is that Krishna is that. And so only he can enjoy. Because the others, we don't have the capacity to enjoy independently. It's just our nature. The masculine nature is independent. It can function without anyone else, right? Though there's just existence, right? In other words, the generator exists on its own. It's doing nothing, but it's there, right? You can go up to it and you can look at it, you can touch it, you know, it's there. But electricity is only there when there's activity of the masculine principle. When the masculine principle moves, then the feminine principle manifests, right? Does that make sense? So, in other words, if people are feeling today the femininity is going in the world, that's because there's no masculine element that's moving. Does that make sense? So unless there's man, there's no woman. Does that make sense? As far as the nature goes. So the point is he's the only one that can enjoy because everyone else is feminine. And the feminine nature is dependent upon the interaction with the masculine. So there's no way the jiva can be the enjoyer. Because we are connected to Krishna as energy. But we're not the full energy. We're not the Swarup Shakti. And we're not even the internal potency. We're on the edge of the internal potency. We're the marginal potency. We're what's in between the manifestation of internal and external. So our position is to be supportive of the internal potency, but we can also make the choice to work under the Swarup Shakti as the external potency. Right? But still, we're under energy. We're too small to function without that. So therefore, we are the assistants. Right? So therefore, Prabhupada's pointing out many unscrupulous rascals, they do the rasa dance and this and that. So that's directly opposed to Krishna consciousness. Right? But otherwise, there's all these other elements that you can kind of be the controller and enjoyer as long as you follow the rules and regulations. Right? But we're so low class that we don't want to follow them. Right? We'll try to present it. No, I'm educated, from educated middle class background with a nice, broad world view and all that. So therefore, it's because I'm above regulation. No, it's actually you're below. Remember, it means just looking at it politically, because it's a political stance. It's not an enlightened stance. Enlightened means actually the soul. It's a political stance. Conservative means there's rules and everybody's got to follow them, right? Weakness being, the individual's left out of it. Liberal means, no, the individual's the main thing, so to do that, there has to be no rules. So the liberal stance is no rules. It's a political stance. So this just happens to be the popular stance nowadays. Back in the 70s, up to 82, then the conservative was more prominent, and now the liberal is more prominent. It's just a swing in political. It's not an enlightenment. It's not a raise in consciousness. It's just a determination not to have any rules and regulations get in the way of my wanting to do whatever I want to do. It's that simple. Like that. We can cloak it in so many things, use so many nice languages, create so many committees, send so many emails, and of course, do whatever you want on Facebook. But it's not going to change the fact that it's simply, I don't want to follow rules. So it's not high class. It's not intellectual. It's not culture. It's low class. How do you tell the high class person from the low class socially? They can follow rules. They can control their senses. One may say so many things, but you know what it means to sit at one of these formal dinners? You're sitting down there. You're hungry. You want to eat. But you're looking at that it's going to take you 2 hours to eat a meal that everybody else would eat in about 10 minutes. That's what it means. You're going to sit there and you're just going to sit there and wait until everybody's in place, until whoever's leading the whole thing is there and everything like that. And then, they'll pour you a drink, you sit there like that. They'll even put food on your plate. That's the worst part. And then, after having done that, no one's touched anything, then somebody's going to, pick up their glass and stand up and make a toast. Then everybody else will have to stand up. You were comfortably sitting. Right? And then, after that toast, everyone this, that, and however many, like this, then you're going to sit down, and then you're going to start, then you can start to eat. You can't eat too quickly, because in that conversation, you have to talk to this one, and talk to that one, and everything, and people stop, they put their, and start waving their hands around. It really slows down. Right? And it just goes on like that. And then, when it comes out, you finally finish the meal, then they're going to come along with dessert. And then, before the dessert, somebody's going to stand up and give a 10-minute speech. Now, to do that comfortably means you have to control your senses. You have to control your senses, that you only wear certain things. It means you're controlling your senses. The guys down there, they're only wearing their suits and stuff like that. You have to control your senses. They'd rather be there in their jeans and t-shirt, but they're not. They're controlling the senses. So in other words, this idea, just do whatever you want, and that's higher. No, it's lower. But the mode of ignorance, as Krishna points out in the Gita, makes it look like what is religion is irreligion, irreligion is religion. And just because we buy into it doesn't make it any different. No, but I feel, so what? That's the one thing has to get through your head, is so what? Just because you feel, so what? What does it mean in relationship with the eternal universal laws of the universe? What's going on actually? It doesn't matter. I feel I should be a billionaire. So what? Does that do anything? Just because you said, then you walk out into your room, you pick up your wallet, and it's so fat, you don't know what to do with it, You know, it's just full of all kinds of papers that say that, you know, you own millions and everything. Is that what happens? I felt like it. Feelings are important. But if the feeling's not actually connected directly with Krishna consciousness, it actually has no meaning. It's not you. It's the modes of nature. But because we identify with it, we think, no, this is me. No, the mind just does what it does. It's a machine. It just goes through thinking. Anything you've ever done in the past and thought of is all that it does and goes back and through. That's all. That's its business. It's simply looking for opportunities where it can enjoy. That's all it does. And then once it finds an area, then it, you know, bumps the intelligence and, you know, hey, check this out. And then it goes, okay, analyze. Well, we've got three, you know, scenarios here and two over there and that. And then the mind sits back. Well, okay, yeah, well, I think we'll take this one. That's all it's doing. And it just does that all day. That's all its job is. Even at night when you sleep, it does that. Right? Makes it a little strange. You know, the dreams are a little funny how they put it together. But it's the same principle. So, in other words, unless it's connected to Krishna, it really doesn't matter. We may think I'm so important, it does matter, and the world should know about it. Right? But factually, it doesn't matter. Reality is reality. Gravity is gravity. It doesn't matter if you think I should fly or not. Right? Think about it. Francis never did fly. He wanted to. He'd get up on the roof, but did you ever see him fly? Right? Francis of Assisi? No. But so, is it that? No, he didn't fly. Why not? Because you can't. So, the idea here is that this element of this unscrupulousness, that's us. We're the unscrupulous rascals, not someone else. Maybe we're not as obvious as this, but we try to cover it very nicely with funny language. They have really nice ways to cover all this stuff. They use really nice poetic stuff, but they just quote from Shastra, that's all. And we don't quote from Shastra, that's all. Like that. So, Krishna's the only one that can perform the rasa dance. Like that. So, this is special. Right? His position. Like that. But we see in the next verses that then Krishna wants to, means Lord Krishna's Kaviraj wants to point out is that doesn't mean that the associates are anything less, that they're any less glorious, right? All it is that these points are being made very directly so that we know exactly who we are. Because otherwise, how do you have a relationship with Krishna if you don't know who you are? Right? If I come up to somebody and say, hi, hello, how are you? Well, I really don't know because I'm not really sure who I am, you know. So, you know, how do you have a relationship, you know? Where are you from? Well, I don't know, you know. What do you do? I don't know. You know, what's your name? Well, I don't know that either, you know. It's like that. You know, it's like that. Are you hungry? Well, I don't know. You know, so. He says, what do you do? What kind of relationship do you go in? I mean, you can have fun, you know, all the questions, you know. Is your left shoe untied? Well, I don't know. Why don't you look? Well, I'm not sure how to look. You know, you could go on all day like that. But the point is you can't do anything unless you know who you are. So the point is when we know I am servant of Krishna, then we can actually establish a relationship with Krishna. That right? Means, or let's say not establish, let's say work within. We already have a relationship with Krishna. Right? Krishna is the Lord. We are his servant. It's already there. It's just a matter we can only engage in it if we accept it. That's all. So, this point here is not that everybody else is a schnook. No, the point here is that you have to know who Krishna is and who everyone else is. Then you can appreciate rasa. Because otherwise, if we think, I am Krishna or I am the associate, then there's a problem. We're the servants of the associate. Right? So the Lord is glorious, his associates are glorious. And we're the servants of the servants of those glorious servants. Thank God. Any questions on this? Something? Otherwise, we'll go to the next verse. Okay. Here. Se Krishna Avetirna Sri Krishna Chaitanya Se Parikara Gana Sange Shabadhanya. The self-same Lord Krishna advented himself as Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu with all his eternal associates, who are equally glorious, right? So this Krishna He has come as Lord Chaitanya and his associates. So it's not a different scenario. You've established Krishna and his position and the associate's position, the relationship. So now it's a matter of establishing that it's the same persons. So therefore the relationships are the same. So it has the same transcendental position and that same wonderful sweetness that is there. 10. Ekalai Ishvara Tattva Chaitanya Ishvara Bhakta Bhavamaya Tara Shuddha Kalevara. Sri Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who is the supreme controller, the one personality of Godhead, has ecstatically become a devotee, yet his body is transcendental and not materially tinged. Purport. There are different tattvas, or truths, including Isha Tattva, Jiva Tattva, and Shakti Tattva. Isha Tattva refers to the supreme personality of Godhead, Vishnu, who is the supreme living force. In the Katha Upanishad, it is said, Nityo Nityanam, Chaitanas Chaitananam. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is the Supreme Eternal and the Supreme Living Force. The living entities are also eternal and are also living forces, but they are very minute in quantity. Whereas the Supreme Lord is the Supreme Being, Supreme Living Force, and the Supreme Eternal. The Supreme Eternal never accepts the body of a temporary material nature. Whereas the living entity, who are part and parcel of the Supreme Eternal, are prone to do so. Thus, according to the Vedic mantras, the Supreme Lord is the Supreme Master of innumerable living entities. Right? So just because he's coming as a devotee, right, here within the pastimes here, doesn't mean that he takes on a material form. We do that because we're so small. Right? Because we have our natural form. But Krishna is in everything. He's everywhere. So just because he's in this situation doesn't mean that he changes his transcendental position. That doesn't change. Right? So he comes with his transcendental form. The Mayavadi philosophers, however, try to equate the minute living entities with the supreme living entity. Because they recognize no distinction between them, their philosophy is called Advaitavad, or monism. Factually, however, there is a distinction. This verse is especially meant to impart to the Mayavadi philosopher the understanding that the Supreme Personality of Godhead is the Supreme Controller. Now, we may say, well, Mayavadis, okay, there's some guys, you know, in India, but we always have to remember the verse that, you know, Prabhupada put together himself, Nirvishe Shunyavadi Paschatya Desha Tarane. He didn't say Nirvishe Shunyavadi, you know, India and over in Thailand Desha Tarane. Right? You know, that, okay, the Mayavadis in India and all the Buddhists over in Thailand. He didn't say that. He said over here. Because the point is what's controlling the world isn't the Mayavadis in India. It's the Mayavadis over here. Because Mayavadi means it's all equal. It's all the same. Anybody can do anything. Sound familiar as a philosophy? Right? There is no distinction. But the point is there is a distinction. Krishna is God. He is the supreme controller. But we think, no, whatever I think is right. Whatever I feel is right. All this sound familiar? This is Mayavad philosophy. We won't call it that. Why? Because we want to remain as the supreme control. If we call it Mayavad philosophy, then I have to think, well, maybe this is not so important. But I want it to be important. So, Prabhupada is pointing out, Krishna's Kaviraj Goswami is giving a warning to the Mayavadis here. Krishna is God. He's the controller. We are the servants. Right? You only have to make this point strongly if someone's behaving badly. Right? If someone behaves nicely, you just talk nicely. If they behave badly, you talk strongly. Right? So the point is we're here because we behave badly. So therefore, a few places, strong points are made. Other places that go on will be nice leelas and all that. You don't have to worry about all this kind of conversation. Right? And come to the class, you know, comfortable and knowing that your position will be safe. Right? But in this section, he's just making it clear that actually it's not so safe. Like that. The supreme controller of the personality of Godhead is Krishna himself. But as a transcendental pastime, he's accepted the form of a devotee, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. As stated in the Bhagavad Gita, when the Supreme Personality of Godhead comes to this earthly planet exactly like a human being, some rascals consider him to be one of the ordinary humans. One who thinks in that mistaken way is described as mudha, or foolish. Right? So the Mayavadis think that they're one with the Lord. The mudhas think that he's one with them. Right? That's the difference. Right? Mayavadis are more intelligent. They understand the transcendental the Brahman platform, but they think I am the same as that supreme Brahman. Well, the mudha doesn't understand, so he thinks he's the same as us here in the material platform. Therefore, one should not foolishly consider Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to be an ordinary human being. He has accepted the ecstasy of a devotee, but he is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Right? So even though he keeps going in and out of these points, because Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has come to accept the mood of the devotee, right? So that ecstasy that is there, because the devotee feels more happiness in that service than the Lord himself. Right? That's the point, is that we're looking to be happy, but the only way to really be happy is to be servant. But we're so convinced that, no, I have to be master to be to enjoy. Right? Therefore, means it's just like this. If you have one person as the manager, right, how many opportunities is there to be the controller and enjoyer? Right? But now if I make a committee, hey, that opens the doors. You know, we can push it as far as we can, you know. 15, 20 people, right? That means 15, 20 controllers and enjoyers. You understand? We may say, no, it's practical management. No. It's we want to be the controller and enjoyer. You only need one person to run it. You understand? These are all just tricks of Maya. You understand? It's really fun if we just take what is just the normal thing and then click it over into the philosophy. Then we just see, hey, wait a minute. But we don't do that. Why not? Because it doesn't look good. Right? It doesn't feel good either. Right? You know? So here we see that he goes in and out of this, because the point is he wants to give this nectar, right? Which is what everybody wants to taste, but it should be done in the right way. We should have the right attitude. Because otherwise, how will you fully taste something if the attitude's wrong? Right? That's when Krishna Prabhupada opens the Gita in the introduction. The first thing he establishes the proper mood, the spirit. Right? Because prajumna is the attraction to something. Right? It means the chaturvyuha, they take these different positions. It means they take charge of different aspects of how the mechanics of the material world work. So our attraction to things, that's prajumna. And so that includes the mood. Right, because you're only attracted if the mood matches with what you're interested in. So that aspect that's first. Because if the mood's not there, then we're not interested at all. Then once that is there, then we can look at, okay, well, what's the subject matter itself? What can I gain from this? Right, and that's the next stage. And then once that's there, then I'm willing to take part in this process. Right. I can relate to it. I see that the goals that we'll get are nice. I can understand the points being made. So therefore, I'm willing to be part of it and make the endeavor. Right? So it starts from the mood. Starts anywhere. That's why everybody's sitting around and talking in all this mood kind of things and nice languages. Because you're talking to establish a mood. Right? But the point is if that mood's not connected to the Lord, it doesn't matter how great the mood is. Right? For all this time of talking nice and all that, things haven't come more together. There's no more of a sense of community, no more of a sense of anything. It's gone falling apart. Like that. Does that make sense? It's not getting better. We like to think it is, but it's not. Material world's what it is. It just goes on, you know, degrading in its own natural forms. Right? And so... Since the time of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, there have been many imitation incarnations of Krishna who cannot understand that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is Krishna himself and not an ordinary human being. Less intelligent men create their own gods by advertising a human being as God. This is their mistake. Therefore, here the words Tara Tarashuddha Kalevala, worn the Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's body, is not material but purely spiritual. One should not therefore accept Chaitanya Mahaprabhu as an ordinary devotee, although he has assumed the form of a devotee. Yet one must certainly know that although Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, because he accepted the ecstasy of a devotee, one should not misunderstand his pastimes and place them in exactly the same position as Krishna. Right? So that's also Mayavadi. One is that we think we're God. The other is that we think we're the devotee. So then it's not that the pastimes here are exactly the same as there. Because that's another, there's another kind of means. You have, what we're talking here is all your general apasampradayas, you know, your low-grade sampradayas, where they, with a mundane view, view these pastimes, right? So because Krishna's doing all these things, so therefore we can do all these things and stuff like that. Then you have what's being mentioned here, even more subtly. It's the apasampradaya of the apasampradayas. Even the other apasampradayas consider them outcasts, right? You know, just like you have your standard outcasts, you know, like a Nishada or Chandala and that. They're standard, right? Like that. They have a position in the society. But then when you mix them too much, then you have the outcasts of the outcasts, the antavasayin, like that. That no one will deal with. So this is one group is like that, is that they think that the Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is in the enjoying mood of as he is in Krishna with the gopis. No, he's in the mood of servant. So then they make this biggest mistake, because Krishna's come to taste the mood of the devotee. But they try to establish that, no, he is here to enjoy. So they call him Nagara. This is Gauranga Nagaris, like that. That they think Gauranga is the enjoyer because he's God. They have, you know, they have all their ideas. But this is being pointed out here, is that this is the worst of them. Because then, not only do you can't tell the difference between spiritual and material, you can't tell the difference between Krishna in his mood as Krishna or Krishna in his mood as a devotee. So when he takes the mood of the devotee, it's purely the mood of the devotee. Because he accepted the ecstasy of a devotee, one should not misunderstand his pastimes and place him in exactly the same position as Krishna. It is for this reason only that when Sri Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is addressed as Krishna or Vishnu, he blocked his ears. He is, right? Means because all the associates, everybody knows he is, but he wouldn't take it, accept it that way. Otherwise, then if you're copying him, then you'll do the same thing, right? Or it will misjudge the whole mood, right? So the idea is that he himself has to establish that, no, it's a different mood. He is Krishna. But the point is why do we say Vishnu? Or why do we say Dwarkadish? Or why do we say Jashodanandana? Right? It's the same person. Right? If you think it's a different person, then you don't know the philosophy. It's the same person. What's different is the mood. How devotees approach. When somebody approaches God in awe and reverence, he's Vishnu. When they approach him in more of a intimate connection, but that intimacy still is regulated by rules. The rules are the form through which you express that more closeness. That's Dwarkadish. And when the rules aren't the form to express that affection, then that is Krishna in Vrindavan. That's Braja Krishna. Does that make sense? Gopijana Vallabha means he's with the gopis. Jashodanandana means, you know, with Jashoda. You understand? So it's he being rasa is how the devotee relates to him is what is manifest. Right? This is the position how rasa works. So therefore he wants to make this distinction that yes, you can say he is Vishnu Tattva. But because he's in the mood of the devotee, therefore, basically, he is as good as the devotee. So he's not going to listen to that he's Vishnu Tattva. You know, he's Krishna. He's Vishnu Tattva, but the mood manifests, he is in the mood of the devotee, like that. There is a class of devotees called, oh, it's right here, Gauranga Nagari. Oh, okay, here it is. Who stage plays of Krishna's pastimes using a vigraha or form of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. This is a mistake that is technically called rasabhas. While Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is trying to enjoy as a devotee, one should not disturb him by addressing him as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Right? Yeah, so just to make sure, because he didn't mention the other apasampradayas, because those are just a generic, there's I think 12 of them. But these ones are the worst, so you have to watch out for them. And fortunately, of all of them, that one group is the only one that tries to come around and be close to ISKCON. So devotees sometimes get distracted and think, oh, there's something here, like that. Because the other ones you never really hear of. Any questions yet? Yes. All jivas. Yes, all jivas are marginal. It means jiva and marginal are the same thing. Like that. Yes, yes. They're all marginal points. See, the point is marginal just means that we're on the edge. It doesn't mean that we're not part of, just devotees are sitting along the wall there. Would you consider them within the room? Yes. So they're still in the room. They're just on the edge of the room, that's all. So that's just who we are. We're on the edge. Right? So, but, yeah. Does that make sense? So the idea is that if we put ourselves under the protection of the internal potency, then the effect is exactly the same. Right? Means it's just like the example given of iron and fire. That's why that example is used. Because that is the nature of absolute. Is the jiva will always be jiva, but he's in the fire of the internal potency. So the reaction is the same as internal potency. Because you're assisting internal potency, then it's the same position. Right? Does that make sense? That's our position in relationship. It's not our position in interacting with Krishna. Right? It means the jiva may be directly interacting with Krishna. Like Rupa is there directly talking to Krishna. And making a clever arrangement to get him out of Chandravali's kunj. Right? But the relationship is not direct. He is the servant of Radharani. Radharani has a direct relationship. Does that make sense? So that's how you have to tell the difference. There's a danger for all of them to come, but once they make their choice, then there's no danger. If you make the choice to function under the internal potency, then there's no danger. That's why you have nitya siddhas who have never come here as a conditioned soul. Like Prabhupada mentioned, he's never been conditioned. He mentions here also in the Chaitanya Charitamrita that Rupa and Rati were never conditioned. The other four were conditioned and then came to the platform of love of God. Now they've come as the acharyas. But Rupa and Rati were never, excuse me, Rupa and Raghunath, they were never conditioned. Does that make sense? Kind of. In other words, don't worry about it. It's one of those subjects that Prabhupada, all the acharyas, means other lines, they also say don't worry about it. See, it either makes sense or doesn't, you know. Makes sense, great, if it doesn't, because it's not important. Like that. Yes. Yeah, if you want to, yeah. But the point is why are you bringing it out? The point is that means it's just like this. Have you ever tried to have a party with a bunch of people who didn't want to have fun? It doesn't work. So the common ground is that enjoyment, but we have to be very, very careful is that we don't put the emphasis on our enjoyment. Because the point is, yes, enjoyment is there, but you have to know what enjoyment means. Because if I say enjoyment, we'll take it about my enjoyment. But enjoyment actually comes by seeing others enjoying. Right? That's the thing. Otherwise, why is it movies and plays and, you know, all these different stories are always so attractive? Are we the directly the one enjoying? Are we the hero or heroine in the movie? No, but we're very happy. Why? Because we enjoy it through others. That's our natural position. So when we see Radha and Krishna happy, or Krishna and the other devotees happy, Mother Jashoda's happy, or the cowherd boys are happy, we become happy. That's how we become happy. The mistake is, I think, no, I will directly taste happiness like Krishna does. We make the mistake that we think that's greater happiness. Because he's the focal point, right? He's the supreme subject, right? That was the point before being made. When it says, this word is important in grammar, in Sanskrit grammar, that's the subject. Right? So that's why it's the main word, right? But, you know, we don't bother with that because it doesn't really mean anything in English. Sorry. But, you know, it actually doesn't, right? It means something in German, but as soon as, you know, the Germanic language is called English, it doesn't mean anything anymore. So does that make sense? You know, maybe if you're not a grammarian, it won't. So so it's the primary element is that we make the mistake that because you're the center of attention, that's more enjoyable. But actually, it's assisting in that thing that's more enjoyable. There's only the idea that it's more enjoyment. You know what I'm saying? But think about it, right? How many pictures are there? They get out of the limo, step onto the red carpet, there's a picture. Then they walk about 10 feet where all the photographers are, and then there's a few more pictures. Do you see any pictures after that? Maybe one, and then they're there for the whole rest of the night. That means within the first 30 seconds, all the pictures are taken. And then there may be one more out of the next 3 to 5 hours. What does that mean? It means they're not enjoying. You know what I'm saying? How much enjoyment is there that you're sitting there while everybody else here is in competition with you? You have a nomination, yes, but you're one of 10. And any of the other 9 may get it. And not necessarily everybody in the room wishes you got it. Many in the room are very comfortable with the other 9 getting it. So you're in a whole room of competitors. Now you tell me that that's great. No. And then you have to sit there because you happen to be farther down the line before they'll get to your you know how you say, your category. So you have to sit there for 2 hours before they get to your category. And then you got to listen to all these boring speeches. Yes, my mother thanks you. My father thanks you. My puppy dog thanks you. My chihuahua thanks you. You know, I think that. And so it's like, you know, how many of those can you listen to? You know what I'm saying? You know, the guy said it once, what, back in the 40s, right? What was it? George, what was his name? Cohen. He's the one that says that. He was the original guy that says, my mother thanks you, my father thanks you, my sister thank you, and I thank you. It was said to Roosevelt, the president. But after that, then everybody tries to do something with it, right? But, you know, it's a bit old, you know? So how boring is that, right? And so that's actually what's going on. But we think by being the center, I'll be happy. Because we see that smile. But there was thousands of pictures taken. They chose that one because that's the only one where they are smiling. Right? Unless, of course, it's a tabloid. Then they pick out all the ones where they're making the funny faces, right? Like that. No? But that's the reality, is that we're thinking like that. So we think Krishna, he's the subject. So he's the one enjoying. But it's not. It's the object that's enjoying. Why? Because the object is actually, even though the subject is the main focal point, is the supreme point, but that point is giving its attention to the object, which is Radharani. So Radharani enjoys more than the subject. You understand? So that's the point, is that we make this mistake. And so we're really, really trying to be the center of attention, trying to be the enjoyer, when we don't have to be. Well, just by being the servant of the servant of the servant, the farther back it gets, the more happy you are. Because we work on that principle of that by seeing others happy, the farther back you are in the relationship, the more people in front of you are happy. As long as it's loud enough that we can hear it. Okay, but see, Now, the line of here, so while we're trying to bring it out, is that why do we give restrictions? Why do we say we're not the enjoyer? Because we're trying to go about it the wrong way, right? In other words, if someone is, that means like what probably gives the example of that school of music in Vienna, where if you show up there and they first ask you if you know any music or not. And if you know music, then they charge you more than if you don't know any music, because they have to unlearn. So in other words, our emphasis on you're not the enjoyer, and there's nothing to enjoy here, those are just facts. Because we have the false idea that, no, it's actually true that I am. Does this make sense? But the point is if you're in a relationship, you actually enjoy. But the point is, if you think I'm the one enjoying, I'm the center, then the enjoyment goes down. That's the whole point. So the idea is, yes, we are enjoyer, but we're only, our enjoyment is only in line with Krishna's. That has to be emphasized. But we get the anxiety of, no, but the material world is so miserable. I've had all my relationships that are important to me fall apart, or people have died, or situations have changed, and I'm so miserable. Isn't there any happiness here? Isn't there any just drop of enjoyment that I can have? Does it have to be this miserable? And so therefore, we'll take the point of we are the enjoyers. But small enjoyers. But Prabhupada even says in places, we're God. We're just small God, right? Because God means Brahman, right? But there's Supreme Personality of Godhead, Brahman, right? There's Paramatma, Brahman. There's Krishna's, you know, impersonal position, or just the status of his qualities pervading everything, Brahman, right? There's internal potency Brahman, there's external potency Brahman, and there's Jiva Brahman, because everything's Krishna. So therefore, we are God, but we're very small. We're 1/10,000th the tip of the hair God, while Krishna is the unlimited God. So we can use those terms, because then it's just bringing it on. Brahman, we're all Brahman, so we understand we're all on the transcendental platform. And enjoyment means we're all engaged in the rasa, because if you're taking part in that whole pastime, then of course there's going to be happiness. But that doesn't mean that we distract it from the facts. If you're pleasing the devotee, means, in other words, why does the Vedic literature give all those different points? Right? Because Bhagavad doesn't talk about grihastha life, does it? Is there any reference anywhere in the Bhagavad Marg to grihastha life? No, it's chanting the Lord's name, hearing, chanting, remembering, worshipping, like that. Does that make sense? So there's nothing there. Pancharatra also doesn't refer to it. It's all ekayana, it's about the deity. So where do we get into grihastha life? The Vedic. And so Vedic, all it's doing is saying, this is the nature of man, this is the nature of woman. If you're, you know, really intent on combining the two, this is the way you do it. You do it this way, you'll be happy. You don't do it this way, you won't be happy. So what makes happiness is called pious. What doesn't make happiness is called impious. Right? And then as uneducated, uncultured idiots, then we try to say that the Vedic literatures don't apply. Those are made by God. They're eternal. They always apply. You know? And you have to be an atheist to say they don't. And I'm sorry to say it that strongly, but that's actually the point. The Acharyas do use that term. Prabhupada uses it very lightly. But just for this time, it's atheism that you think that the Vedic literatures don't apply to exactly right now. That's all. Atheism means non-theistic, that you think God is not in everything. This book is held up by this table because God's potency is here that allows this table to hold it up. Does that make sense? Yeah. So the point being is that God being everything, then we're all part and parcel of that. So therefore, if we take part in the relationship, of course we'll be happy. But we have to get rid of the idea that I'm doing it to be the enjoyer. Because Krishna, being the supreme enjoyer, is not trying to place himself as the enjoyer. He's placing his devotees as the enjoyer. He's trying to please his devotees. He's God. He's happy on his own. We have to remember, Atmarama means you're happy by yourself. You don't need anything. But rasa means you're trying to please the other person. That's what God's doing. We take it, oh no, he's sitting back and just enjoying. He's trying to please. Right? What's his point? Why does he leave the rasa dance? Right? What's the reason? Right? The attitude of the gopis, right? Because they think they're proud that I'm, oh, I'm so fortunate, isn't this great, this and that. So he leaves the rasa dance. So now, then Radharani reveals that even though he went with Radharani, but then when the other gopis come, because they're feeling separation, and they're thinking that we have so much love and we're feeling so much separation, right? You know, they're seeing the pastimes, they're doing all these amazing things because they do have great love. But when they come to where Radha and Krishna are together, Krishna disappears, because then if disappear, then they'll be able to see Radharani's feelings of separation. Then they'll understand there's no comparison. Their feelings of separation and Radharani just don't compare. Hers is so unlimitedly more great. Then they surrender that she is the supreme female in that assembly. Right? Because Krishna wants to dance the rasa dance with Radharani and dance with all the other gopis, but watch from there so Radha and Krishna can watch. But otherwise, if he hasn't established her as the supreme gopi, all the other girls will be jealous. And then how nice a rasa dance can you have? You understand? So then who's that important to? It's important to Radharani, not to Krishna. You understand? Because if the girl's confident, then she'll be relaxed. Then the interaction will be very natural and very, very full. But if she's not comfortable, it won't be full. So it's all about the girl. It's not all about the boy. The boys always think it's all about the boy. That's why with time, more and more, the whole social fabric's falling apart. Because the boys are more and more convinced, no, it's all about us. No, it's all about the girl. That's the way it is. Eternally has been, eternally will be. It's one of those facts you just have to learn to live with. Right? So he makes her the center. And because of that, then it works. Like, so now she is, because everyone else is her expansion. So she's manifesting the fullest. That means everybody else will manifest. So Krishna functions on how to please the devotee. But that position, the devotee never thinks, I'm the enjoyer. Right? That's why then they enjoy. As soon as they think, I'm the enjoyer, they place themselves in Krishna's position. And then, now you have two Krishnas. Then how is that going to work? Right? Just like if you have two men, it doesn't create a... Two men can sit around all day and talk and that, and it's a great time. It's nothing ecstatic. Right? Does that make sense? And two women, if the mood's right, okay, it works nice. Otherwise, it's a big fight. Right? But a man and a woman, that creates a particular intensity. Does that make sense? So you have to have the opposites. So if that's all understood, then yes, we enjoy. In other words, if you remember how I opened this, was about the senses. Engaging the senses and the sense objects is all that the jiva can do. Is there anything else you can do? Right? Telepathy kind of went out in the 60s. Is there something else? No, it's always just the senses and the sense object. So the point is not senses and sense objects. That we love to do. That we love to take it that, you know, morality is supreme. No, it's Krishna consciousness is supreme. You engage the senses in Krishna's service, that's good. You don't engage the senses in Krishna's service, that's bad. Right? But within bad, then we like to say, well, this is worse than that. Yeah, of course, but what about what's good? Right? So if you engage in Krishna's service, you'll be happy. You're engaged in the senses, you'll be happy. But if that's the point, then we would follow, as we started out saying, the Vedic literature, because it's only the Vedas describe how household life works and how you can enjoy, what's to eat, how's the interaction and everything. You follow that, you'll be happy. Devotees don't follow that. They're not happy. You know what I'm saying? The divorce rate amongst the devotees is the same as the karmis. So what does that mean? It means they're not happy. Why? Because they refuse to follow the Vedic rules. Say, oh, they don't apply. It's like, you know, yeah, this is the point here. Prabhupada uses the term, mudha. We're temporary. Our lives are temporary. Our thoughts are temporary. Our thoughts only apply to today and tomorrow. They have a zero meaning. So therefore, the Vedas are like us. They're also temporary in Kali Yuga, as if we're in control of Kali Yuga. That's called mudha. Prabhupada used it. Foolish. And so therefore we suffer. Prabhupada's giving us everything. You want to enjoy in the material world? There's only one way to do it, by following the Vedic literatures. There is no other way. The demons on the lower planets, what are they committed to? Being happy in the material world, right? Do they follow the Vedas? Yes. Hiranyakashipu wears the dhoti because it's the best. Right? You understand? Do you ever see him like in a punk outfit? You know, the big mohawk and everything like that? You know, a bunch of tattoos and some spikes, you know, nice big spikes. No. Like that. He's in a dhoti. Why? Because it's the best. The way he arranges everything, it's just right out of the Vedas. What does he do? He just leaves God out of it. That's all. And puts himself in that position. That's all. So if you want to enjoy here, the only way is the Vedas. To say that there's anything else, you have to be a fool. That's all. I'm saying this boldly, and we'll take on anybody about it. We don't care who they are. The point is that's the way it is. The Vedas are the, Prabhupada says it's the manual for how, when the Creator creates something, they create a manual how it works. That's the Vedas. And just because you don't believe that, okay, I bought this gizmo, and here's a little booklet that goes with it. By the manufacturer, and say, oh, it doesn't work like that. Oh, it doesn't apply anymore. Okay, when he manufactured it, you know, this was manufactured 3 months ago, and I got it now, then it applied, but now it doesn't apply. Sounds stupid, right? Right, just take the devotee and then have them speaking, oh, the Vedas don't apply now. It's the same stupidness. Exactly the same. Does that make sense? So the point is yes, we will enjoy. We are the enjoyer. It means, why does it make the comparison that the material world is like a drop of happiness compared to the ocean of happiness of Brahman, right? And then it goes further to say, but the happiness of Brahman is only a fraction of a portion of a drop compared to the unlimited ocean of bhakti, right? Because it's two things. One is trying to show that the amount of happiness you get here is a drop compared to already making an ocean, then going down to a drop and back to an unlimited ocean of what happiness you can get on the transcendental platform. But it's also showing us that this Mayavad thing of we try to equalize everything, either we're God or God's like us, to the Brahman platform, that yes, it may be a greater platform than the material enjoyment, but it's nothing still compared to bhakti. Because a marginal position means Brahman platform. Liberation means Brahman. So from liberation, you can either choose the material or prema. Does that make sense? Yeah, so we're the ones that talk about enjoyment. The rest of this book is going to talk about that. And then, you know, you'll have the fortune that someone else will be talking about it, and you'll probably get more of the sweet sides. But we're here today, and so you're not. Yes. Right. Male and female. Means of the principle. Means in general you have, means I, what was the context of it? Do you know? Because it means everything's male and female. So it's just a matter of what context it was applied in. Yeah. Yeah, so in other words, Krishna is the masculine principle, the creation is the feminine. So the feminine is, in that case, it was a matter of relationship. The feminine only has experience in connection with the masculine. When there's that security of the masculine, then there's that experience. Does that make sense? It means we're not the enjoyer. We're the enjoyed. But what's being pointed out is that Krishna is the enjoyer, but he's the supreme enjoyer, but the happiness of being enjoyed is much greater than what the enjoyer, like that. So once we accept that, because we're trying to be happy, but we're trying to be happy by being the masculine principle, which doesn't, one, we're not, and two, even if you're being offered happiness, why one wouldn't take the feminine position? It's so much greater. You know what I'm saying? So that's why Krishna has come as Lord Chaitanya, to taste that higher position. Because otherwise, and it's not accessible to the masculine, because one is enjoying, one's trying to control the situation. It's the situation of being controlled that's more. But the point is we take it from the Machiavellian kind of point of control, right? That I control how I like, and that's where it ends. No. The actual principle that works, right? Anything successful works by this principle, not that principle, is that I control the situation how I may be liking according to how what I'm trying to control is receiving that. So I can only move within my control as much as the feminine nature is actually responding and is appreciating that control. That's the point that the jivas aren't catching, and specifically, socially, that the men aren't catching. You catch that one point, you can turn around the whole society, social function of just being a functional society instead of a dysfunctional one. That one point will make any masculine-feminine relationship work. You don't know that, it can't work. Because then you're going against the actual fundamentals of what you're dealing with. You know, it's just like I try to train a dog like I would train a horse. It won't work. They're different. You know what I'm saying? Like that. So that's all it is that we understand what are the facts. So we understand the facts. It's very simple. Right? Kids come in here, they make trouble. Why? Because they think this is a gymnasium. As soon as they understand it's a temple, then they stop playing. You understand? So that's the thing, is we think the material world is here for my enjoyment. As soon as we understand it's not, then we can see Krishna everywhere, in everything. Right? That's what the Chaturshloki is saying, is that at all times, all places, and all circumstances, direct or indirect, one must try to see Krishna in everything. Because he is what's nice. We say the wall, okay, this skirting along the wall is nice. Why? Because it has that element, Krishna's tradition. He's depth. He's naturalness. All the qualities will attribute to that. That's that. The forms that it's taken, those Lakshmi has taken. She's taken the forms that manifest naturalness or depth or, you know, comfortableness or anything like that. That's what's actually going on here. That's the reality. Everything here is Brahman. Everything is Krishna and his internal potency interacting. That's what's actually happening. But we think, no, this is here for me to enjoy. So I see the form of it, and I think this is for my enjoyment. But the form is Lakshmi. So therefore, as soon as I see Lakshmi without Krishna, she takes on the form of Maya. It's external potency. It's not internal. So it is inferior, but it's still, it's the manifestation of Lakshmi. That's how it works. That's reality. But that's just the Brahman platform. And it's so amazing that you can see Krishna everywhere. Then Paramatma, you add in what you should be doing with that. How should I be dealing with that? And then Bhagavan is how that's for Krishna's pleasure. Like that. So we can see, but we have to accept that there is a non-difference between the masculine and the feminine principle. So you can't separate them, but there is a difference. We accept that, then Krishna's in everything, in everywhere, in any situation, any relationship. But you have to know what it is. But if you think, I am Krishna, or I am the enjoyer, then it ruins the whole thing. So as soon as we understand that, I'm not the enjoyer, it brings you to the platform of self-realization. Then you see everything connected to Krishna. Then it's a matter of then cultivating that love for Krishna so that we see everything in relation to Krishna based on that relationship. Right? The gopis will see everything in relation to Krishna in the conjugal ras. Mother Yashoda will see everything in relation to Krishna as the parental ras. But they'll see everything and Krishna is always there. Like that. So that's all, that's what's being offered. We're being offered that, but we're fighting it so much. No, 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 but this and that in this situation. No, but my family or my money or my position or my health. If something is there and I can't do it. And we think we're still going to be happy. But it's sad. It's not possible. It's impossible. But we go on, no, 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 I can do it. And then our friends, you know, so-called our friends, they said, no, no, you can do it. You can be the enjoyer. You can be the controller. Yes, yes, you know, yes, try again. And, you know, that's why it says in the literature, the so-called friends. They're not friends. They're just encouraging your illusion. But that doesn't mean your friends say, ah, hey, quit being a stupid idiot. No, it's a matter of connection with Krishna. Like that. So that's the problem, is that the bluntness is also not seeing the relationship with Krishna. We're just seeing a fact, but we forget the fact is connected to Krishna. You know, meeting, oh, that's Maya, that's nonsense, that's sinful. But why? Because a human being always takes remnants of sacrifice. It's either directly from remnant of sacrifice, or better, the remnants of those of great personalities who have taken the remnants of sacrifice. In other words, the minimums you take prasad, better is you take mahaprasad. But these two things are the only food for a cultured human being. A cultured human doesn't eat anything else. So what does that mean? It's been connected to Krishna. And the devotee is connected to Krishna. So the prasad is connected to Krishna, and then the devotee is connected to Krishna. So it's got double benefit. That's why mahaprasad is better than prasad. Right? Because it has that extra added thing of the devotee. Because it's the devotee that's important to Krishna. That's why non-veg is not good, because you can't offer it to Krishna. That's all. It's that simple. It's not that, oh, no, it's, yeah, you know, on its own. It's nothing to do with that. We make it into that. No, it's just that you can't offer it. That's all. That's as simple as that. You know, people got to eat, but you can't offer it. So why would you eat it? Especially when something you can offer is available. So therefore, that's why we're not. So we're not, you know, again, the meat eating and vegetarian, that's not our platforms. Our platforms is, no, Krishna, serving Krishna, offering everything to Krishna. So that's where the sweet side comes. So this heavy, hard side, we say, will come from the Vedic literature. No, it doesn't at all. The Vedas are very nice. We're the ones that are harsh. Because just as we're harsh, yeah, meat eaters and this and that, then it's, oh, those who follow the Vedas are fanatics. Oh, those who... It's the same thing. It's us. It's not the Vedic literatures. It's not the Acharyas. Like that. We create this unnecessary environment, and then we complain about it. You know what I'm saying? We cook the soup, and then we don't like the soup, and then we complain about it, right? So, is that okay? Yeah. Last point. Yes. Yes, that's there. That's there. But the point is a good inmate generally, you know, is taken care of okay. Yeah, means you'll be in a cell with a guy who isn't 10 foot tall and weighs 500 pounds. You know? Yeah. You know, so the point is it just makes it a little more comfortable. So that's why Prabhupada describes comfortable as not uncomfortable. Right? And for each individual, that's different. Just like, let's say, for a person from a very well-to-do background, you know, not uncomfortable means it's very clean, it's very tidy, it's very orderly. So therefore, those situations that are like that, they'll be comfortable in. No, no, you're here because you wanted to be here. Divine will didn't want you here. Yes, but you committed it. So don't blame it on divine will. Because you wanted to be here. Huh? Yes, but that doesn't mean anything. So what? Just because you don't recall it, why you have to recall it? Do you remember what you ate in 1962, December, Thursday afternoon? Yeah. Do you remember that? No, but it doesn't mean anything. You still ate then. So, therefore, just because you don't recall it doesn't mean that it's not the fact. The fact is that we're looking at Krishna's energy and seeing it from a point that I can enjoy this rather than I can use it in Krishna's service. And that places you here because it's consciousness, right? Just like the acharyas can be here in the material world and their consciousness is not here. Their consciousness in the spiritual world. So even though they're moving through the material phenomena, they're not in the material world. They're in the spiritual world. So in the same way, you can be in the spiritual, and if your consciousness is not there, you're in the material. Right? The demons that come to Vrindavan, they're not in pure Krishna consciousness. Right? They're seeing everything material. So they're in Vrindavan, but they're not in Vrindavan. They're in the material world. So it's the same way. The jiva, if his consciousness is connected to Krishna, you're in the spiritual world. He's not, you're in the material world. It's that simple. So we're here means our consciousness was here. Right? Okay, so now we're kind of past it.